Tamás.
My guest today is Jan Tamáš, a member of the Czech humanist movement and also the spokesman of an initiative called No to Bases, which is against the stationing of a US radar base in the Czech Republic. Humanists, who exist in more than 80 countries worldwide, say they're not a governmental organization, they're not a humanitarian organization, they're not a political party, and they're not a religious movement. So what are they?
Interesting question. There's thousands of ways how to tackle that question. Well, we can say humanism is a sensitivity of people who feel that human being is the most important value, and who feel that other values are being put above the human being nowadays. We believe that every human being has a right for education, for healthcare, for a place to live, and of course we believe that it's not necessary that people die of hunger today.
It sounds like a sort of nice sort of socialism. Would you say that's true?
It's not true, no. Socialism is a different ideology. You know, socialism is built around the society. We are built around the human being. So it's based on a different value.
How did you get involved with humanism?
Well, it's been 10 years ago when I first met some people from the humanist movement, and I liked it from the beginning, so I just joined right there. And I've been involved for the past 10 years.
And what was it that attracted you to humanism?
The idea that there is a movement which is a global movement. It's international, and it's not limited to one particular area. Like, I felt I wanted to do something for maybe the homeless people, or for the people who are addicted on drugs, or for single parents, or for parentless children. But still, if I would get involved in that one area, I would know that there are all these other areas which I'm not involved in. I was looking for something that would try to tackle all of these issues at once. And I found that in the humanist movement.
I'd like to quote something from the What We Want section from your website, mm-hmm. which I've translated myself. We want a slightly different world to the one we're living in today. We think that people aren't fools who are incapable of deciding things for themselves. And we also don't think that today's politicians are the ones who should be making decisions for us. Now, you might not like those politicians, but they were voted into office in free and fair elections. Some could interpret what you're saying as an attack on democracy itself.
In fact, we want the opposite. We want to improve democracy. We want to make it so that it would be the people that decide directly, not through the politicians. And we believe that's possible. We believe nowadays we have the technology, we have the cell phones, we have the internet, that makes it possible for the first time in human history to really allow people to make the decisions themselves without the middleman, without the politicians, who often are corrupted, who often represent interests of those who put them in power. And so we want to just go ahead with the evolution of the human race, or of the mankind, and improve the democracy so that really it would be the majority of the people who decide and not just a couple individuals.
So, in other words, you're saying that humanism and direct democracy are interlinked?
Yes. If you would look into the humanist groups which are involved in politics, then direct democracy is one of the first proposals that they have.
But that could, in this country, that would probably result in, say, the death penalty being reinstated.
I don't think so. You know, this argument is often stated by people who don't believe in the goodness that is inside of people. I don't feel that people are stupid. I think people
A majority are in favor. 70%, I believe, the last time thought that it should be.
You know, that's according to polls, and polls often can be manipulated by the question that is being asked, by the environment where the question is asked, by the people who are being asked. So, you know, that's questionable. I think if people would really be given this tool to decide, they would begin thinking wisely about the decisions that they make, especially if they would see that they have a direct impact on their lives and on the lives of their children and their grandchildren.
Well, one issue that you're very much involved in at the moment is an initiative called No to Bases. It's against plans to station a small US radar base on Czech territory as part of the American Missile Defense Shield. Now, this system is designed to protect the United States and its allies from attack. What can possibly be wrong with that?
Well, I believe the the thing that is wrong with the system is the idea or the thinking that by building new weapons, by building new military equipment, by establishing new military bases, we can make the world, or we will make the world safer. We believe the opposite. We believe that if we want to make the world safer, if we want to keep peace, we need to begin getting rid of the weapons that we have, and we definitely don't need to create new weapons or new military bases.
But this is a defensive system. It's against the weapons that other people, i.e. Iran, North Korea, are trying to acquire.
Well, anybody who is dealing with international politics knows that there's really not a difference between an offensive and a defensive system. You can look at it as, for example, the body armor that a robber would be wearing when he's robbing a bank and you know he's running away and shooting at the policeman. Is the body armor a defensive measure? No. You know, he put it on because he wanted to rob a bank and kill some policemen. So you can't really say that it's a purely defensive measure. And of course it will provoke the other nations, the other superpowers to react. And so it will escalate international tensions, and it will decrease stability, and it will increase potential for conflict or for war.
Do you accept that there are limits to what you as humanists can do, and that sometimes there comes a time in history, 1939 might be one, when there is no other option but military force? In fact, it was foolish not to take military action earlier.
I would answer perhaps by expanding the first answer that I gave to a previous question, because there's another thing which I didn't mention, and that's the fact that we don't really see a need for this base to be here. Against whom? Against what? We're told that there are some threats. Well, we don't believe those threats. We don't believe that Iran is a threat to security of Europe or to the security of the United States, just like we didn't believe that Iraq was a threat. And nowadays we know that it wasn't. United States government was saying that there are weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. We know that they weren't there. Everybody knows it, or the whole world knows it. So how can we believe that what we're told today is the truth about Iran or about North Korea? We don't believe that. So if there's no real threat, there's no need to build this base.
Obviously, it's a pretty grim world in which we're living now with global warming, the threat of nuclear proliferation, and wars around the world, etc. To be a humanist, to remain a humanist against the background of all that, do you also have to be something of an optimist?
Well, of course, we are optimists. Otherwise, we would never be able to do what we're doing. It needs a lot of optimism and courage to really take that strength inside of us and try to change the world outside, which seems so rigid and so permanent that sometimes it may seem really foolish to try to change it. But we believe in the strength that there is in the connection of people, and in the fact that when people get together, when they begin working together, we can make the world really the place that we want it to be.
Jan Tamás, thank you very much.
Thank you.